We don't often address the sort of elephant in the room of the charity business sometimes, do we? And that's the grubby world of fundraising. I say that because, you know, it feels like sometimes how you get money off people and how you maintain the funds into a charity. Keith, Camilla, I don't know, there must be dark arts here at play.
I think one of the difficulties, David, is the association of fundraising, not just with the dark arts, but with begging, as opposed to, if you give me some money, I will do wonderful things to change the world with it. It's more like there's a tin by the cash box or there's somebody harassing you in the street and you feel bad. You don't feel like you've had any effect other than putting your hand in your pocket. And of course, the difficulty now is we haven't got any change in our pockets anymore. We've only got cards.
I think this is a really interesting concept we're going to start talking about, because I think the fundraising issue, you're right, is a dark art, because some people who do it are really pushing at heartstrings. The whole market there has changed. But what I think is unique about this at the moment is this link between the private sector and charities about trying to get in and taking some money up front for it. And it'd be interesting to see just how much it is working.
And of course, there's this also, you know, there's the case that hangs over this was the case of Olive Cook, the 92-year-old poppy seller who killed herself after getting 3,000 charity requests for donations a year. And the report from the Fundraising Standards Board really did make a lot of charities reassess what they were doing and how they were doing it. So things have changed. And then, of course, the coronavirus and the lockdown and the move online and the lack of people going into charity shops, as we heard in an earlier podcast, has led to closures of charity shops on the high streets and people having to look in a different way at fundraising.
They also have to look at the kind of events that many charities put on for their, let's say, their regular funders. They will expect that for a charity auction, you will come with your card and your checkbook, and that money will then go to the charity. Is the fact that we've not been able to gather maybe helped us look at the value of that kind of event, which costs a lot of money to put on? So what you're trying to do is get people into a, let's say, a regular giving frame of mind.
Yeah.
And yet not necessarily expect a prize at the end of the day.
Yeah. And it's difficult. You know, I've never been in the position like you two of being involved with charities, facing the hole in the balance sheet or whatever it is, and having to think of imaginative ways of raising money and who to go to and whether you can squeeze an extra £2,000-£3,000 out of these corporate supporters and that kind of thing. I mean, it would be my idea of a nightmare, I have to say. Literally, I would be waking up in the middle of the night thinking, where do I get that extra chunk of money from?
It is, but it's the choices. You know, if you've got the money, you've got the opportunity to spend it. If you haven't got it, you've got to hunt around to try and find out how you can now deliver the same sort of services with less money. And my only claim to fame, just as a throw-in at this stage, I did raise on Hull Station, playing with my guitar and my colleague, 300
quid. Oh, no, here we go.
For the very first children in need, okay? I just throw that in.
Didn't we have this before? You couldn't even remember what song you were playing, Keith.
Well,
it
was... no, I know I couldn't.
No, he's forgotten again. He's forgotten again.
No, it could have even been She's Coming Round the Mountain, because that was quite good. You can ring that one round. The other one was Mrs. Rosie.
Oh, yeah. We're talking about fundraising simply because our guest today is Veronica Bamford-Dean of Work for Good. And Work for Good is a newish platform which is putting charities together with small businesses. We're going to be hearing more from her very shortly, but we've got to say hello. This is Good Charity, Bad Charity. I'm David Prest.
I'm Camilla McGibbon.
And I'm Keith Davis.
So Veronica Bamford-Dean is the Managing Director of Tech for Good platform Work for Good. What is Work for Good? It's a fundraising Tech for Good platform. It helps small businesses donate to charities through fundraising sales. And it does a clever thing because it digitizes the legal requirements by creating a commercial participation agreement for every deal that's done. And that takes away the need for lengthy contracts between the business and charity and complies with all the legislation. The platform was founded in 2018. It's raised over £1.5 million in charitable donations for small business sales so far. Veronica, thank you for joining us. And we've just been talking about the rarefied attempts that we've all done for raising money, or that Keith has done on Hull Station. How do you compete with that?
Oh, well, I certainly haven't done any singing because I'm not sure I'd fundraise, or I might be paid to stop singing. But I've done a couple of half marathons. I think that's probably my claim to fame in terms of individual
that's
fundraising.
Good.
From a personal perspective, I've been fundraising ever since school, pretty much on a sort of an annual basis, depending on what's going on. And then obviously more from a business perspective, fundraising for charity. I'm sure we'll talk about that in a bit.
Well, look, it's great to have you along, Veronica. So tell us, first of all, so Work for Good, a lot of people won't know about the organisation and the platform. Tell us a thumbnail sketch of how it works, and how it works for both businesses and how it works for charities.
Of course. So you gave a very good summary of exactly what we do, David. But yes, Work for Good is a fundraising platform. We are relatively new to the fundraising market. But I think what is really important is what we're bringing to the market is something that is a digital solution to an age-old fundraising problem, which is cause-related marketing. So the platform helps charities to engage and steward small business supporters in particular who want to fundraise through their sales. So any business, actually of any size, a platform set up for, can welcome businesses who want to fundraise through a pound or percentage of a product or a service sale, and then be able to donate it to charity. And as you said before, that comes with the legal agreement that is required, which usually is rather complex. And so we provide the digital solution for that.
You're sort of matchmaking in a way, aren't you, I suppose?
To an extent, yes. But actually, about 75% of businesses that come to use Work for Good are coming having been redirected by charities. So charities are actually the ones that are receiving all this wonderful interest from small businesses wanting to support them, and then being able to offer them a tool to be able to do their fundraising.
And I suppose the typical example is, I mean, there is one very well-known high street pizza chain, which I think there's one pizza on that menu which has always given money to, I think it's the Venice in Peril Appeal, very successfully over the years. And is that the sort of typical model in a way? Is it sort of part of a range, or is it a percentage of a product that small businesses are interested in doing it that way?
Yeah, that's a perfect example. And actually, businesses do it in very different ways. So some do it through all of their sales, others do it through a specific sale. They might do it on a monthly basis, perhaps, sort of businesses that really want to embed their giving into their day-to-day. Others might do a one-off campaign.
Can you talk a bit about what is a small business, Veronica? Because I have a picture in my head of a high street, and it's mixed, and there are restaurants, and there's a shoe shop, and there's a candy shop, and all of this. But I think your definition of a small business is slightly different. Am I right?
Actually, it's my favourite question. It's my favourite thing to talk about, and particularly it's the biggest myth within the sector, as in what a small business is compared to what a small charity is as well. So the way that businesses and charities are measured are actually quite different. So a small business is measured on number of employees, and is measured up to 250 employees per business. But they could have an income of, well, very little to millions of pounds. Whereas for a charity, as we all know, 97% of charities are small, they're under a million in terms of income. They are measured on their income, but they could have few employees. There are 5.8 million small businesses in the UK. So yes, we're talking about high street shops and small independent local bakeries and hairdressers and salons, but then thinking about also the plethora of online businesses as well. And actually the majority of the 5.8 million, they're actually micro businesses, which means they've got 0 to 9 employees, which really kind of brings back to the very personal way that small businesses are run.
Just following on from that then, do I pick up that you go out and search these businesses? So you might have a list of businesses that may be interested in supporting charities through your platform, or is it very much, I'm going to put my charity out there and see what comes in?
So a little bit of both. Actually, the way Work for Good started, we very much did go out to the the small business audience and supporter base to really try and encourage them to give through their sales. However, what we were finding was charities were receiving all these wonderful incoming inquiries from businesses, and we needed to develop and evolve our product as a service that we have to really support charities to be able to steward their supporters.
Mm-hmm. What about COVID, Veronica? I suddenly thought, what we're talking about now, we probably wouldn't have been talking about 2 years ago in the uptake of tech, people getting more familiar and happier with platforms, people ordering in, all of that. So that's one thing that I would imagine is to your advantage. But if you're dependent on small businesses, and you've just given us this fantastic definition, how are small businesses feeling in the present economic climate? So on the one hand, I can imagine an uptick for you. And on the other hand, you're thinking, ooh, maybe not.
You've pretty much got my exact thought process on probably the 23rd of March last year.
Yeah, I can imagine.
We had no way to know which way it was going to go. For us in particular, it was working out what our responsibility was. And our responsibility was to continue to fundraise. And after the first couple of weeks, which slowed down for everybody, what we actually noticed, and I think as the general public, society, businesses became more comfortable of moving online, and about 750,000 businesses moved online at the beginning of the pandemic.
Right.
People were becoming more used to obviously shopping online, interacting, being on Zoom. That was the way of communicating with others. And actually that confidence grew. And then thinking more about specific about businesses, how they did, there are very, very sad stats that about 500,000 businesses had to close their doors.
Yes.
3 to 4 million struggled because of furlough, because of decreased sales. Obviously, also we have Brexit coming along as well. So that was thrown into the mix. But there were 1 million small businesses that thrived. Because as we know, we all moved online. So some businesses do very well online. And actually, and I have to say, one of the most positive things to come out of the governmental messaging for small businesses was the encouragement to shop local, shop small, concentrate on your local communities. Yep. And that, I actually think, has put small businesses on the map.
And why do you think, though, that the charity sector has always had this focus on, we've got to get the big corporate clients, we've got to get the kind of blue chip companies and the percentage of money that they want to give to charity. Why has there always been that obsession, do you think?
My personal opinion on this, I think it's just a misunderstanding of the value of small. And going back to looking at the size of businesses, when you think about a big corporate, you think about they could be raising a lot of money, they'll have a lot of income. However, if you think about sort of hedge fund companies, asset management, estate agents, solicitors, they're all bringing in hundreds of thousands of pounds a year. And they could be very small. They could be a team of five, but a very successful team of five. If we look at the overall picture of, you know, we're talking about the 5.8 million small businesses, they make up 99% of business in the UK, and they bring in over half of UK turnover. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit of a sort of no-brainer why we wouldn't want to be going down this route to find and work with smaller businesses. But I can equally understand so many fabulous and successful corporate partnerships that happen with the big organisations. But there's just too much competition.
Yeah.
I think this is quite unique. Okay, what you've got at the moment for charities going forward. However, if I'm a charity chief exec and I knock on your door, how are you going to sell me the benefits of your service over just still going for, you know, a 5 grand, 10 grand grant aid? So what's the benefit to me and my charity?
What I would say to you, Keith, is it's absolutely worth going towards those 5-10 corporate partnerships within your organisation, but also opening your doors to all the other smaller partnerships. Or it's not really even partnerships, it's supporterships, really, because you're not having a specific partnership with the business. You're not actually giving them anything back in return. And I think that's the real difference, because a corporate partnership, it is a two-way. You know, you have a two-way agreement. Yes, with small businesses, you may also agree to allow them to use your logo, or you might do a social media promotion for them. But in general, it's just accepting support as you would do an individual donor.
So do I then sign up and you help find me a partner, or do I sign up and then have to find my own and look at what's on your list and say I like them, I don't like them, or whatever, they fit? Which way does it work?
Sure. So you'd sign up as a charity, you'd create your own fundraising page, and then you would use that to proactively go out to smaller businesses and encourage them to support you through their sales. So we have sort of mentioned before about 75% of businesses do come directly from charities. So that's charities who are either receiving those incoming inquiries or charities who are proactively going out. But we do also have about 25% of businesses do come to the platform just naturally through our marketing and also being a fundraising platform. And then you could be chosen by one of those businesses. But I think just leading to that, one of the kind of the important points I'd want to make is when we're looking at businesses, when we're looking at some very small businesses, particularly a lot of businesses are sole traders. And so they're just individuals who are owning and running a business.
Yeah.
Individuals are very driven by the causes that they care about.
Yeah.
And that's reflected for business as well.
I was going to say, and also, you know, a lot of the small businesses, let's say the ones between a dozen employees and 50 employees, there's a real sense of community amongst those companies. And I dare say the companies will decide themselves how they want to give to charity. It's a great thing for the workforce to be able to say, look, you know, I'm involved in this local charity, or I think this organization deserves our support. There must be a lot of stories like that, that, you know, those symbiotic relationships between businesses and charities that just emerge from those sort of conversations.
Yeah, absolutely. And also looking at it from both a commercial perspective and a cause-driven perspective, and to engage employees, it's actually quite smart, because it's a way for a business owner to engage their employees and say, look, if you work hard this month and you sell our products or you sell our services, let's take a recruitment company, for example. Most recruiters will be based on a salary and a commission. What happens if you are based on a salary, commission and a donation? Would that drive you more perhaps to recruit a little better or make sure you had, you know, have a successful contract in place?
Give us a few examples now.
We've actually got a business which is a marketing consultancy business, and they actually asked their clients who they would like their donation to go to. So they offer 3% of their invoices, and each month they get their clients to choose which charity they would like to support. So they can choose from the over 1,000 charities that are using Work for Good, or if that charity is not on Work for Good, then they will nominate them, and then we will, as a platform, invite the charity to join us and go through that process of getting them set up. And then sort of an example from, I suppose, a product perspective, there's a lovely company called Patty & Co. And she sells organic baby muslins, and she donates 10% of these to Tommy's, the baby's charity.
Right.
And she then tells her customers about what she's doing. And she's very proud of doing so, because it's really, at the end of the day, it's the customer's money that is being spent, that is being donated. It is the choice of wonderful Kat who runs the organisation, but without her customers, she wouldn't be able to make those donations. So that brings round the cyclical. It is a very sustainable way to donate. You sell a product, you make a donation.
Camilla?
It's a really interesting concept around motivation, isn't it then? Because as an employee, you'd be motivated to increase sales if you knew that a percentage of those sales were going to charity. That was an additional motivation. If you're a customer and you're buying, like you say, baby muslins, and you look at that 10% of your money going to a cause which is really totally linked into what the product is, and that makes a huge amount of sense to you as a customer, that increases your willingness to buy. Mm-hmm. I guess if I were you, and you're probably already doing it, I would put motivation way at the top of the thing that you are selling.
I completely agree. And I think the shift in the way that people want to do business, but also the consumers' needs. You know, consumers want to buy from, or employees want to work for, businesses that are doing good and putting their purpose ahead of profit. You know, the social narrative has totally changed, and it continues to do so. And that's what makes it a really exciting time for business giving, and an exciting time for charities to really catch a hold of this.
Is there a still, though, a little bit of nervousness from a lot of charities, do you think, about using a platform like yours? You know, just that sort of wariness of the tech, wariness of what you're taking out of it as an organisation, just the unease of doing it in a slightly faceless way. Are you still coming across that as a problem?
We do occasionally. And I think there's a real desire for the sector to be more digitally innovative. But I don't think there's always an understanding of what that really means. And there is and there's a fear factor, isn't there?
Yeah.
What does that mean? What does digital mean? What does innovation mean? It doesn't necessarily mean doing something new. It just usually means doing something that is already being done, but better, and being able to make it more accessible to more people. A platform is, it's online, it's digital, it's helpful, it's a tool, I suppose. A tool to help fundraise in a much more efficient and effective way. I think, so particularly going back to your point, David, with the commercial participation agreement, which is kind of, you know, it's the backbone, it's the USP of Work for Good, it's what we provide. Charities can set their own up. They can be long contracts, they can start at 2 pages, they can go up to 80 pages. It creates a lot of administration, cost, resource and capacity for a charity to set those up with each business, which is why, completely understandably, charities are very picky exactly on who they will have a commercial participation agreement with. We, as I said, sort of create that agreement. So we've digitalized that by integrating it into the platform. What that means is when a charity joins up to Work for Good, they are entering into that agreement with any business that would like to support them. And then each time a business signs up and then pledges their support, so it says exactly how they are going to support them through pound or percentage of their sales, beginning and end dates of their campaign, and then how much they think they're going to raise, that then creates that agreement with the charity. Now, at that point, a charity can do their due diligence on the business. They've got complete responsibility to do so. And if they don't want that business to support them, just like a partnership in-house, for whatever sustainable, ethical or process reasons, they can then ask us to ask the business to support a different charity.
And just so, I mean, you know, in all clarity on this, you know, the percentage that you take is what, and how does that work?
Yeah, so we deduct 5% of donations, and that is at the point that the donation is actually paid. So I suppose looking at the sort of ROI, and exactly to your question, David, well, why would you use Work for Good? Number one, because otherwise small business supporters would be turned away because they won't hit specific thresholds that charities will have. So charities might say, well, a business has to support a minimum of £5,000, £10,000. Actually, the larger charities are £50,000 and £100,000, which, you know, is a pipe dream for any small business to be able to donate that.
Yeah.
But the 5% that we take is at point of donation. So beforehand, we will have spoken to the business, we'll have put the contract in place, we'll have stewarded the business as well as the charity. We provide webinars, we provide social media support to really champion the work that small businesses are doing. So that amount, if you sort of, I suppose, reflected it over to the charity, if they were putting that commercial participation in place for every single business, that would cost charities thousands and thousands of pounds.
I think that's a fair point because, you know, they do have to spend money on it. And if you can clearly demonstrate that by investing time and effort with yourselves, it may reduce that cost. Is there a sign-up fee or do you just take it on the end?
No, there's no sign-up fees. There's no sign-up fee or ongoing membership fee.
Good.
And of course, you know, just going back to your 5% figure, you know, you look at crowdfunding sites, charity crowdfunding sites offering zero fees, but then you pay a platform joining fee or you pay a processing fee or then you're pressured into making a donation later. You know, I dare say there is a very difficult dilemma for you to make about, okay, well, where do we say the fees are and what, you know, you have to do it for a profit. And you have to be upfront about it. But, you know, hiding in the small print sometimes is probably not the best way of doing it, presumably.
Yeah, I completely agree. And we're super transparent about it. And, yeah, as I said, as a small business, as we're growing as well, probably subscription fees would be a much better way for us to be able to make more revenue. But that's not the right way at the moment. But running platforms does cost money. Otherwise, we'd all be charities.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's sort of trying to work, what is the return of investment? What is the benefit? And we decided right at the beginning not to be a charity and actually to be a for-profit organisation and based on private funding, because we were hoping, and we continue to do so, that this will leverage even more giving rather than trying to take away from the sector.
Yeah.
You're listening to Good Charity, Bad Charity. Our guest today is Veronica Bamford-Dean of Work for Good. And Veronica, I know that you have charities and you have businesses signing up all the time, every hour. What sort of numbers have you got at the moment? What's the balance between charities and businesses?
Yeah, we do have them every hour, and it's very, very busy at the moment, particularly with the Christmas campaign as well. But yeah, we've got 1,072, although perhaps when we finish recording the podcast, that will change. So 1,072 charities, and that's made up of the smallest of small and the largest of large. So we've got about 60 of the top 100 charity brands on Work for Good at the moment. And then we've got over 2,600 businesses. If you want the exact number, 2,652. That will also change, I'm sure, at the end of this podcast.
So that's quite healthy in a way, isn't it? You know, one would have thought that more charities and less businesses. So actually to be in a position where the businesses are outnumbering the charities, businesses prepared to give, at some stage is quite an achievement, really. I mean, are you kind of going to try and curate it and keep that balance around about that same sort of proportion, do you think? Or will it naturally settle around that?
Ideally, we would want even more businesses than charities, because The more businesses that are using Work for Good, the more they'll be fundraising and donating. But what we have seen over the last 2 years, so from, 2020 to 2019, there was a 50% growth in terms of businesses signing up. So yes, I think that is because we are a small business that is growing ourselves and our proposition becoming better known and businesses knowing that they can use us. But I think that also demonstrates the need as well.
Just a bit of a question. I'm obviously questioning from wanting to share this with my charities, as well as we want to share it massively with the Good Charity, Bad Charity community that we've got. How big is your team then now? And how quickly has it grown to support charities that want to sign up with you?
There are only 10 of us, and actually only three of us work full time.
Yeah,
we're a growing team. Lots of people do work part-time, which is super. It's really important for us to be a flexible workplace. But because, and this goes back to digital innovation, because we are online, because we have the system set up, because we have the right technology, we are able to service and provide a service to thousands. We've got over 3,000 members using Work for Good, over 1,000 charities and over 2,500 businesses. And we still provide a personal service, although I've just said it's sort of driven by software and technology, it's still us behind the computers.
Yeah.
You were founded in 2018, and about that time, the House of Lords came out with a report on charities. And it was a very interesting report because up front, it gave a huge boost, certainly psychologically and materially, to the charity sector. Not sure what's come out of it as far as government is concerned. But one of the recommendations was that charities should be thinking more digitally. And at the time, I remember thinking, does the House of Lords even know what they're saying? Do they understand what they're saying? Or is this just a form of words that makes them sound like they do know what they're saying? And it strikes me that you do know what they're saying. And was that in any way the instigation for this platform, which you very clearly describe as a tool, which would be totally responding to that report? How did you get started? What was the motivation for the founder to do this rather than something else?
It was completely personal, actually. So we did launch in 2018 to the public as a platform, but it was founded a few years before, and sort of the general concept and proposition and the sort of first stage of the platform created. But no, the idea was personal. It's from our founder, Rupert Pick. He is a experiential marketing connoisseur. He has his own marketing agencies, but his firstborn was born with two rare genetic conditions, and she spent the first 3 months of her life in hospital, tied up to tubes, not being able to go home, and doctors and nurses working around the clock to look after her and to keep her alive. Now, Roops was also running his business at this time and wanted to do something to give back and say thank you. he didn't have the time. He certainly didn't have any energy to run a marathon or even, you know, bake a cake.
No.
And he was asked by a very big client of his to run a marketing workshop for them. And he agreed to do that. And they said they'll pay him a fee. And he said, well, that's lovely, but actually I'd like to donate that to the Evelina London Children's Hospital to say thank you for all the work that they've been doing and support they've given Otty and my family. And he did his workshop, he got paid, and he donated the money. And he was like, well, if it was that easy to do, why do more businesses not do it? And that's sort of where the genesis of the idea of Work for Good came from. And then a little bit further down the line, Danny Witter, who's our other co-founder, joined to sort of put some money in to get it off the ground, and then very, very kindly and generously offered 6 months of his life unpaid to work. He'd been working in the banking industry for 25 years.
Yeah.
And then the commercial participation agreement and the legal part came into play.
But it is interesting from what you're saying, it's that it came from the personal first, you know, and then came into the business link from that, because I guess not a lot of businesses are automatically thinking of how can I support a charity? It's secondary to how do I make enough money to pay the staff, to pay the business or whatever. And if we've got a platform, as you say, that will help them think as well as the charities think, I think that's quite a good step forward.
It's actually really interesting you say that, because more and more businesses that are signing up, we have quite a lot of startups signing up who want to embed giving before they've even launched their product or their service or their business. There's a whole cohort of businesses, and I think we're only going to see that increasing with Generation Z starting to build their own businesses as well, but really wanting to do good right from the very start.
Yeah.
Maybe the default position then for new businesses will be, how can I be part of giving? How can I make myself greener? How can I make sure that equality is part of my ethos? And those questions will be something that are asked right from the beginning, as opposed to being add-ons in the end. Oh, and by the way, we need to be green, equal, and part of society. Sorry, that was a declaration and not a question.
That's not like you.
I agree. I totally agree. But I think you're absolutely right. And I think, you know, coming back to consumers, people want businesses to do better. They want them to be more ethical, more green, more sustainable, actually putting society and the environment first. So if you know this when you're starting a business, well, what's the best way to bring on custom? Do what your customers want.
Exactly. Brilliant.
Going back to, I think we should name that pizza chain. I'm feeling bad now that we skirted around it. It's Pizza Express, who've given over £2 million to the Venice in Peril Fund over the years for the sale of their Veneziano pizza. I mean, I think, you know, that was quite a commitment those many years ago, and has clearly sort of had a major impact and is a lovely story, one of the oldest established kind of links in that way. But give us an example, Veronica, of some of the really, you know, some of the sort of the creative ideas that come out of companies. There must be some people in the marketing department who get quite excited about the prospect of coming up with ideas like that.
Yeah, there we've got lots of examples of wonderful businesses that do put in their different ideas. So there's a lovely, relatively new company called the Really Good Beer Society. Now, they have a range of different beers.
Why do we laugh? It's just great. Go on.
But they name each of their beers actually based on the type of charity that they're going to be supporting.
Right.
One of the beers is called Tidal Wave, and they support the charity Ocean Generation. So there's a direct link to the type of charity that they're going to support, and they try and come up with fun ways of naming their beers that isn't the name of the charity but is around the concept. And then they have spoken to different charities to get their feedback, and I just thought it was a really great story, and it's just a really nice example.
And actually that is a good example in that it's not just one thing from their range. I mean, it's 2.5% of the sale of every beer goes to different projects, isn't it? Which is a great commitment.
Yeah.
But no, you're not just a dating agency, are you, really?
No, and it was interesting, Keith, because you sort of said, do we connect? And one of the misunderstandings of Work for Good in the past, really, you know, when we launched and people were still, we were trying to figure out what we were doing and everyone else was trying to work out what we were, people did sort of see us as this connecting. It's like, that's not really what we're doing. I would love to, you know, later on down the line, when hopefully our team is a little bit bigger and we have more of a marketing budget, you know, we will be going out to more businesses and partnering with different networks. And we would like larger partnerships with sort of, I suppose, bigger organisations that have lots of businesses connected to them. But at the moment, we've got to put all our focus into how we can support charities better, because they're getting all those incoming inquiries. And then once that's nailed, then we can hopefully focus on the other side.
Veronica Bamford-Dean of Work for Good, it's been fantastic to have you on the podcast. If you want to find out more, it's fairly simple, workforgood.co.uk. But it's been great to have you along and to hear your thoughts, Veronica, and we wish you well.
Thank you very much for having me.
Keith Camilla, any thoughts?
So fundraising, it's not the kind of thing that you immediately associate with being creative. But boy, the innovative ways that people are thinking of, not to get your money, but to involve you in something that leads to something else, that leads to you giving money or getting a donation in parallel with sales, coming on board, being a partner, having value, adding value, feeling worthwhile, all the things that has kind of concentrated people's minds over the last years or so. I found it fascinating.
Keith?
I agree. I think I came to the podcast initially thinking, is this a company or a group of people trying to make money out of charities? But the more she talked and the more the ethics came out of her and the way she talked about supportship rather than sponsorship, I thought was a lovely phrase. But looking at going out and inspiring businesses as well as charities, I was actually really quite impressed. And her sales pitch on a sense of, if you go to a lawyer, if you go to a HR advisor, if you go to an accountant outside, that's going to cost you money.
Yeah.
All we're saying is, sign up with us, and if we get any money, or if you get any money from a partnership, we'll take our little bit then. Not like those people who pay up front.
Yeah, and I think that small charities tend not to have any of those skills, Keith, in-house. So they do have to go out.
Absolutely.
So then you have to find that person that you trust. Mm-hmm. That person is giving you the proper advice. If you add up all the man and woman hours on that kind of search and in-depth understanding, somebody can provide that at, well, literally almost a flick of a switch or a click of a screen, however you want to put it. Mm. I thought that was a tool that I would buy.
And there's something quite benign about that relationship as well between a small businesses and charity, isn't there? It's not the sort of slightly pressurized way in which people's bank accounts might be signed up, or even the kind of shaking the tin in a slightly too aggressive fashion. You know, it doesn't feel like it's intrusive.
Mm.
It feels like it's a relationship which can hopefully grow and last for many years as well.
Yeah.
I think Keith used the word synergy. In other words, everybody gets something out of it.
Yeah.
It's not one person begging from another person or one organization, you know, coming down heavy on another organization and guilt tripping them. Often we give because of guilt, but maybe this is a more thought out relationship. Mm. It is all about, yes, we're in this together. We can make something happen. We can improve society. And guess what? Society is us.
I mean, you know, obviously they've got their first, and it could well be that this is going to be a very, very big part of the market for fundraisers in the future, I suspect.
Yeah, it could be.
I think in any kind of digital arena, to get there first is key. Mm. This is what I understand from people who are in the digital arena. And you need to probably run as fast as you can to make your mark and to engage with people. But I think from what I was hearing from Veronica, we didn't actually ask her about target numbers, but the growth seems to be exponential because one person tells another person who tells another person, and then you've got an enormous platform, which is great.
Where next? We never really know, do we? This has been Good Charity, Bad Charity. I'm David Prest.
I'm Camilla McGibbon.
And I'm Keith Davis.
GoodCharityBadCharity.com if you want more. At GCBC Podcast on Twitter. Dan Hardoon's our producer at Whistledown Productions, with a little help this month from Louise Adamson, the Centre for Charity Effectiveness. We're indebted to them as ever. And we'll be back with more pretty soon. Goodbye.